Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on, 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Really quickly, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling tonight, WCWO as usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, PWA in Nanaimo, British Columbia, PXX in Mesa, Arizona, APW in Daly City, Florida, House of Glory Wrestling in Jamaica, New York, Tier 1 Wrestling in Brooklyn, New York, IWA in Columbus, Ohio, Brew City Wrestling in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, featuring Cahagas versus Beer City Bruiser for the AIWF World Title, and RIPW in Danville, Kentucky. Also, 3-2-1 Battle here in Seattle tonight. Tomorrow night, SCW in Bremerton, Washington, where I will personally be tomorrow. NWA Blue Collar running tomorrow. The annual Patty Cruise-In at Patty's Home Plate in St. John's in Portland, Oregon. KPW in Sun Valley, California. EWI in Valley City, North Dakota. NOW in Toledo, Ohio. Lucha Volcanica in Seattle. OSW in Fort Stockton, Texas. ROW in Texas City, Texas. ATCW in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana. CCW in Evansville, Indiana. WWA in Central City, Kentucky. OWO in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Metroplex Wrestling in Bedford, Texas. And LPW in Hudson, Massachusetts. Without further ado, I would like to bring our guest on. He is Dustin Five Star. Mr. Star, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, those are a lot of shows you just plugged there. A lot of wrestling action going on, huh?
There is a ton, and also pay-per-view, Evolve, and Ring of Honor running tonight on the pay-per-view. So there's a lot going on this week.
Yeah, that's good. Good for the business, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, since today is your first time on our show, we are going to give you the first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, that's an easy one, man. You know, I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, and born and raised here. And, I mean, good grief. Anybody who's anybody has been through Memphis, Tennessee. Everybody from Macho Man Randy Savage, Stone Cold, The Rock, Hogan. Of course, it's the land of Jerry Lawler and superstar Bill Dundee, Jimmy Hart, Handsome Jimmy Valiant. So, you know, just all the stars came through here, and I grew up watching Memphis wrestling, and that's what I wanted to do. It really wasn't like a dream that, man, I want to work for WWF or WCW. It was, man, I want to be on Memphis wrestling, because it was, I think I heard a stat the other day that was like 7 out of every 10 televisions in the viewing area were tuned into Memphis wrestling, you know, back in its heyday. So I grew up watching that and, you know, idolizing the king and the superstar, and that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, how I got into it is even crazier than that. I just called the TV station and said, hey, I want to be a wrestler. I was 15 years old. And, you know, at the time, and they had a long history with Channel 5. So I just picked up the phone book at the time, you know, probably the last time I ever used a phone book, and called the TV station. They gave me a number to another guy. I called him and, you know, just asked about it. And he hooked me up with the outlaw Don Bass, who was the singing cowboy, and he was also one of the original assassins. And legend has it that Jeff Jarrett stole the you know, smashing the guitar over the guy's head from Don Bass, you know, from back in the day. But anyway, before I got off the phone with the guy, I said, by the way, who is this? And he said, it's Randy Hales. It's like, oh, man, I watch you on TV. You know, just a kid. And Randy Hales, he actually booked Memphis Wrestling. He was a promoter for Memphis Wrestling for many, many years. And he was the promoter when WWE had the developmental territory in Memphis. So him and Brandon Baxter, a couple of the first guys that I ever met in the business. And, you know, from there, you know, now I've been doing it 18 years and just kind of grew up, really grew up in the wrestling business.
Now you pick up the phone and you call, spoke to Randy Hales. When you're making that call, did you have any idea of what the process was to get into wrestling? Did you have any idea of what it actually took?
I had no idea at all. There was a tag team here called PG-13. And it was Jamie Dundee and Wolfie D. And, you know, Jamie Dundee is superstar Bill Dundee's son. And if you remember, they actually joined the Nation of Domination and debuted on WWF programming back in the 90s. But those guys, you know, like I just looked at it like, man, if those guys can do it, you know, because we were kind of the same size and stature and they were young and got in the business real young. And, you know, I just thought that growing up watching it, I could do that, and that's what I wanted to do. And I know it seems like the same interview that you hear from, you know, some of the other guys when you listen to podcasts and stuff, but man, really, you grow up being a big time wrestling fan, and if that's what you want to do, I mean, you just figure out how to do it. And that was the only way that I knew, because I didn't know anybody in the business. So I just picked up the phone and called and happened to, you know, get a number. And I remember going through training at such a young age, they never thought that I would last. You know, at one time I had to take a week off. I think I was banged up or something. He said, oh, he'll never be back. And when I heard that, it just motivated me more. And, you know, you hear your friends and your family at some points kind of say, oh, man, you're doing that? You're too small and all that kind of stuff. But really, man, I was just really young and, you know, just started working hard. And it all started with a silly phone call just by a 15-year-old kid calling the TV station because he was a wrestling fan, though.
Well, Jerry Lawler got started when he had drawings that he had made of the wrestlers. Catch the Eye of Lance Russell. He was, I believe, 12, maybe 13 when he very first appeared on Memphis Wrestling. So it's not unprecedented that people got into the business very early in Memphis.
Yeah. Lance Russell was a guy that I always imagine him calling one of my matches. And like I said, that was the goal. And finally, eventually, I did make it to Memphis TV, and we were live. And Lance came and did at this time, he was actually retired at this time, but he came back every now and then just to call a couple of episodes of Memphis Wrestling. And so he actually called one of my matches. And then here more recently in the last, 2 years or so, me and Lance and, of course, my wife Maria, we've all kind of become friends by doing interviews on the radio and Lance doing appearances around Memphis. And, so not only did I get to have him call one of my matches, but now, you know, one of the guys I grew up watching, he is the voice of wrestling to me and to any Memphian that was growing up watching. But to be able to meet him and to call him a friend, and we'll see him coming up on a couple of shows. I know on September 10th in Jonesboro, Arkansas, Lance Russell will be there. He'll be calling the action one more time from Earl Bell Community Center, which the Memphis territory ran Earl Bell, I believe, every Saturday night. And so on September 10th, they have Jerry Lawler versus Jeff Jarrett, two of the biggest draws in Memphis wrestling history, main eventing. I'm fortunate enough to be stepping in the ring with superstar Bill Dundee. Of course, Maria will be in my corner. There is really bad blood between us and Bill Dundee, but you'll have Doug Gilbert on that card. The Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart's going to be back, WWE Hall of Famer. Let's see, Brandon Baxter will be on the card, Derek King. So they're bringing back, they're calling it the Memphis Legends Reunion, and it's one night only, and it's headlined by the King and the King of the Mountain. So Lance will be there for that. So I'm glad you brought him up, man. We love Lance. And, hey, Lance Russell needs to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I want it to happen really soon, too.
I would not argue that.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves it.
You said you had Lance Russell call one of your matches. The other very long-time voice of Memphis wrestling, one that Memphis wouldn't have been able to launch under the Lawler and Jarrett regime without him being on board, was Dave Brown. Did you ever get the chance to have Dave Brown call one of your matches?
Yes, yes, yes. Dave Brown, man, him and Lance together were great. One of my favorite selfies of all time was with Lance and Dave. They've had Lance and Dave at the at FedEx Forum in Memphis. They do the Memphis Grizzlies, NBA basketball team, they do wrestling night once a year. And the first year they did it, they brought Lance and Dave back to call the action. And I was able to work with them then. And then this year they came back in February and they did it again. And that was headlined by, they had a match, Jerry Lawler with Jimmy Hart in his corner versus X-Pac with Scott Hall in his corner. So this happens during an NBA game, during the Memphis Grizzlies basketball game. And Lance and Dave, they call the action. So yeah, we've been fortunate enough to meet Dave, and you know, he's a longtime weatherman here in Memphis. He just recently retired, so he does little appearances here and there, but he's getting involved in wrestling. I don't know if he'll be there at Jonesboro, but we know Lance will be there.
Now, you mentioned a little bit ago, of course, your wife Maria, and she actually valets for you. You're one of the married couples in wrestling that seem to have quite a bit of success at it. In your opinion, what do you feel about relationships in wrestling in general between people in the business?
In general, it's a terrible idea. If anybody is out there and they're a wrestler or thinking of getting in the business, I mean, the last thing that you want to do is to have your girlfriend or your wife in the business. You guys have heard the stories just as much as I have, I'm sure. Just seems to be a bad recipe. And, you know, not only partnering up with your spouse and, you know, during a work environment, but then also, I mean, you've seen what's happened. I don't even have to name specific names. You know what can happen when you have a relationship in the wrestling business. And this one was a little different. I mean, Maria grew up, she didn't watch wrestling. You know, she was more of a pageant girl, won beauty pageants growing up. And when we started dating, she really didn't even know what wrestling was. I mean, honestly, and I was fresh off of my WWE developmental run. And so, yeah, you know, I met her, and then eventually a couple of years later, you know, she had seen me work and wrestle and everything. And the opportunity for TV came up, and they said, do you think Maria would want to be on TV? And I said, well, doing what? And they said, come to the ring with you. And so the idea was first blossomed right then. And so the idea was pitched as a TV spot. We would do it for TV. And it was just a local station here in Memphis. This was probably about 2 years ago, I think. So it hasn't been very long. And she said, yeah, let's try this. It sounds like fun. And so from then, she had a blast. Like, I can tell you the first time that I ever got in the ring, I was terrified. I was scared to death. I was nervous. But it was a good kind of scare. It was like an excited kind of, you know, emotion that I was feeling. And then when it was done, you can't wait to go back out there. It's like, man, let's do that again, because it's such an adrenaline rush. And I think that's what she felt. And so she's really just fallen into her own. The fans around here on the WrestlingNewsCenter.com, they do a poll of, you know, best wrestlers of the year and all that kind of stuff just for the Mid-South. It's usually Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Missouri, you know, kind of just around the Mid-South. And the 2 years in a row, she's been voted valet/manager of the year. So she's like my tag team partner. Even though she's on the outside of the ring, man, we can get a lot done with her in the corner. It makes it a whole lot easier for me, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Now, when Maria first broke in with you and she's becoming a valet, did you get into the ring with her and show her a little bit of what it was like to actually be in the ring, or did she strictly valet and not really do anything in the ring ever?
No. I didn't work out in the ring with her or anything like that. I think that her role was going to be, it was going to be more of a Miss Elizabeth type role. And, we watched some tapes, and, at first she kind of thought it was silly, especially to be watching tapes of somebody that's standing on the outside of the ring. But, just like any athlete and any person, this is talented and picks up on things real fast. She started to notice that even the smallest of details really mattered because, just because we're wrestling in the ring, everything she does on the floor sells that match. And, if you haven't seen any of the footage, man, we've got a great YouTube channel. It's the 5-Star Fan Cam. Great friend of mine, Fred Cotto, he actually runs it. He shows up to the towns and he records the promos. He puts the videos on YouTube. He's done an awesome job, but he even focuses, and I don't blame him, but he focuses a lot on Maria at ringside too. But she just, it's something about it. When she's about to cut a promo, the fans, almost like a Vicky Guerrero, they just chant at her and boo as loud as they can to where she can't really talk. And so we have to turn the mic up, and then the fans boo even louder. So that's what I mean. It just makes it so much easier, especially I consider ourselves being like cool heels, because we've got the muscles, and Maria is beautiful. I mean, she's very, very attractive, sexy lady. I'm strutting around the ring with my flashy gear on, flexing my muscles and all that kind of stuff. But then, they just hate us for it. And just having her at the ring, it makes it a lot better. But no, we didn't take any bumps. We didn't do any of that kind of stuff. It's almost like she reacts as if it was real, and the few little bumps and bruises that she's taken, she's learned some stuff from those because she's like, okay, well, next time I need to do it like this, So it doesn't make it seem as choreographed or anything like that. A lot of the stuff we do, as you know, it's not practiced or anything like that. It's just going out there and working and making some magic. And she's been really good at it. But no, we didn't do any kind of training or bumps. Now, that has been talked about, but she doesn't have any interest in actually becoming a wrestler. Because a lot of promoters have reached out. And then obviously, WWE or TNA or anywhere like that, I truly believe that the look that she has, they would be interested in her. But I don't know that she's interested in doing that either. We've got a pretty good thing where we're at now. So right now she's just probably going to be at ringside and you won't see her squaring off with anybody, except for maybe Karen Jarrett. She might square off with a Karen Jarrett. We've had a little run in with Jeff lately.
I've seen the videos on that.
Now, man, there's some unfinished business there, man.
Definitely. Now, we talked about you, of course, coming up watching Memphis wrestling, and Memphis had a particular style that was different than most of the other territories in wrestling, really.
You wrestle
with a lot of guys that were Memphis legends, Doug Gilbert, Bill Dundee, Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Lawler, people like that. Do you find yourself gravitating towards doing a Memphis style yourself, or do you think that you found your own style and try to make that fit in with what you're doing today?
Well, naturally, it will be the style that I grew up watching and kind of emulating. So you'll definitely see some Memphis in my work, but then also, just like any other performer, there are other characters and traits meshed into that. So, you'll see me do push-ups in the ring. I was a Scott Steiner fan, so I'll do some push-ups and pop up to my feet. I'll flex some muscles, not quite like Buff Bagwell, but when I wrestled Buff, that's what me and him did. I grew up, believe it or not, Flair and Shawn Michaels, those kind of guys were my favorites, but I also like Sting, the Ultimate Warrior, Lex Luger, the British Bulldog, and the body guys like Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner, obviously Hulk Hogan with the 24-inch python. So, I've got a little bit of everybody as far as, especially guys that I've worked with and I respect and grew up as fans of theirs. So I'll throw a little bit of that in there too. But I mean, our deal is, I'm a 2-time Mr. Tennessee. That's legit. I won the Mr. Tennessee in 2012 and 2013 in the men's physique division overall. So that's kind of the deal, man. I'm going to go out there and people are going to go, man, look at that guy. Oh, man, look at her. And then we're going to run our mouths and we're going to do a little Memphis style, but we're going to kick some butt too. You know, we're going to do a little bit of everything and there's no telling what might happen. So especially, you know, being big fans of DX and NWO and all the stuff that Flair used to talk. So you'll have some Memphis, but then you'll have some of that other stuff that I try to, I don't like to say steal. I try to borrow it. You know what I mean?
You have wrestled quite a few of the bigger names that are still active out of the old Memphis territory, so I'm sure you've wrestled in front of some pretty packed houses. What's the biggest crowd that you've had to date?
Well, I mean, I've wrestled at FedEx Forum several times, not only with WWE, but then also, you know, with the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think they seat probably 18,000. You know, I did WWE spots all throughout, you know, Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. So I've worked in front of some really big crowds, but as far as like independent type of wrestling, I mean, you know, a couple thousand, you might wrestle in front of a couple of hundred. You know, this weekend on Saturday, we will be tomorrow, actually, you know, on the 20th, we will be in Raymer, Tennessee. So they have SPWA wrestling out there in Raymer, and, you know, they have a small venue, but they'll fill it up, man. You'll have 250 people there. But then when we go on September 3rd to the Isle of Capri in Lula, Mississippi, they sell it out. So you'll probably have 3,000 people there. Jonesboro and on September 10th, I know it's going to do really well. And then we have fair shows, you know, the fairs like to bring wrestling into their, I guess their repertoire, they're part of their entertainment. So we'll wrestle in front of a couple of thousand people at the fair, you know, the Jonesboro Barbecue Fest. Memphis has all sorts of things. And so Memphis, the wrestling pops up, you know, not only at just, you know, the big arenas or the National Guard armories, but they also have them at various different, you know, fairs and circuses and different events like that. And so we get in front of a lot of people. It's pretty regular too. I mean, we're booked right now all throughout, all the way throughout October, as far as the weekends are concerned.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know he has some questions also, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a bit.
Cool, man.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Dustin.
Hey.
Dustin. I know that you were two times Mr. Tennessee, I guess it's Men's Physique Championship. Were you influenced at an early age by a weightlifter known as the Mighty Quinn or maybe Cuban great Sergio Olivier that competed against Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 1969 Mr. Olympia contest?
Why do you ask me specifically about him? I'm just curious.
Oh, Sergio Olivier, he was nicknamed the Myth, and I'm going to try to get a contest started to get you known as the Myth.
The Myth?
Yes. Yes.
I like it. I could get used to that, I guess. No, man, I guess, let's see. You know, obviously I was an Arnold fan, you know, mostly of his movies until later in life, you know, when I got a little older, then I knew that he was, you know, a big bodybuilder and stuff. But as a kid, you know, throughout my teens and everything as well, I guess I was an Arnold fan. I like Sylvester Stallone, but you know, like I said earlier, it was, you know, guys like Luger. I know people, you know, bag on Luger a lot, but man, the guy was always in tip top physical shape. And if you watch his matches, he had some really good matches. You know, British Bulldog and some of Scott Steiner stuff. Buff Bagwell was always entertaining, but you know, really honestly, even as a 15-year-old kid, I knew exactly what type of wrestler and what type of look that I wanted. The hard part is achieving that. So from age 15 all the way till, you know, 30, I'm 33 now. That entire time, man, I took that time lifting weights, eating, doing everything I could to grow. A guy that really helped me out a lot, you guys might remember the Spellbinder. He was a Memphis wrestling mainstay, and he was also Phantasmo on WWE. He did the famous, do you remember when he did the wedgie and pulled the guy's underwear right out of his tights?
Yes, that was.
That's fantastic.
In some ways, that was tragic and unfortunate.
Yes, it was. But, I mean, it was a very cool gimmick, and the guy knows magic. He knows magic legit. So I think if they wouldn't have made it so silly, it would have lasted. But anyway, he's a really good friend of mine, and I have to attribute, you know, anything to do with fitness with Del Rios. That's his real name, Del Rios, and he was my trainer. He helped me along. It was kind of like the big guy, because if you've seen him, he's huge. Just kind of trying to help throw the little guy a bone. You know, he was helping me out, and then he realized that I was serious, and then so the training got a little more serious, and it's taken a long time. But finally, I feel like, you know, within these last 5 years, I've become the professional wrestler that I always set out to be, you know, look-wise, having Maria by my side. I mean, who wouldn't want, you know, when you're watching WWE back in the day, who wouldn't want Sonny by their side? And to me, it's like, who wouldn't want my Maria by their side? But they can't have her because she's with me. She's by my side. So, I did, you know, bodybuilding, especially now, probably the last maybe 5 or 6 years, I would look at bodybuilders different than I would before. But to me, the bodybuilders growing up were the wrestlers because they all look like bodybuilders, you know. And that kind of motivated me to get in the gym. And I would have never thought when I started this journey that I would have ever competed in a bodybuilding show, much less, you know, win several of them, especially the Tennessee State, you know. That came as a big shock to me.
Well, it seemed, in my opinion, your wife, Marie, exudes the grace of Booker T's Charmel. Are you going to buy her a tiara for your 10th wedding anniversary? That's what I'm asking.
It's Maria. Maria, she'll take you to Slap City is what she'll do. But a funny story. So she's, you know, like I said, she won numerous beauty pageants, you know, all through school and high school and everything else. She competed in Miss Mississippi, which is the Donald Trump beauty pageant, if you guys are familiar with that. I actually told her, I said, you got to wear a tiara. You need to wear a crown like you would win at a beauty pageant. And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, no, you definitely have to. So I literally had to talk her into it. And she wore it for a couple of appearances and then just decided against it. But I love that idea. I'm going to tell her that you said that too.
Oh, okay.
I pitched it for sure.
A tiara for her 10th wedding anniversary. You know, it's, let me see now. Who is the actress on The Big Bang, Sheldon's girlfriend?
Oh, I don't know. I remember you just brought up Charmel. Charmel,
yes.
And King Booker were so entertaining. That's a good point. I do see some Charmel and Maria, now that you mention that, because she's nice and graceful and elegant, and then when she snaps, you know, when you make her mad, that's when it sets it off, you know. King Booker.
I just remembered it's Amy Farrah Fowler, and she's a big fan of the tiaras, but kind of opposite of Maria in body appearance wise. Yes, I think Amy Farrah Fowler is a little bit heavier. Yes.
Let's see, Amy Farrah Fowler. I'm trying to look her up while you guys are talking about her.
Oh, okay. Well, she's a huge fan of the tiara. Now, I do hope you get a chance to look up past past bodybuilder, the Mighty Quinn. He had a very, very good physique. Yes. The Mighty Quinn. Yes.
I definitely have to look that up, man.
Okay, and also look up Sergio Olivier, the Myth.
Oh, yeah, this guy's jacked, bro.
Oh, very
Mighty
jacked,
Quinn,
yes.
He's jacked. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I feel like if I'm around, let's say, between 195 and 205, which
uh-huh.
is basically where I am now, I feel like that's a really good weight for me as far as how I want to look in the ring. Now, the key there is I've got to maintain my diet and everything to where I can stay in striking distance of a contest. So most time, if I do a bodybuilding contest, at this point, it would probably be next year when I would commit. but I'd have a 12 to 14 week program to where I would put on some weight and then cut it back down. So I would probably go up to 215 and then cut back down to about 185, 187, something like that. So I always try to stay right within there. So I have some good striking distance. You know, I don't have too much work to do, but there's a big difference between being in contest prep shape and, you know, being in wrestling ring shape. There is no way that day in and day out. That's why I give so much, you know, credit to these wrestlers that we've watched throughout all these years that have stayed in tip-top shape. It is really hard, especially on the road and your eating and your training schedule. It's really hard to stay in that type of shape. I mean, look at guys like John Cena. He's constantly on the road, but if you look at his physique over the years, it's been consistent. He's always looked really good. So if I could stay within there, I'm fine. So I don't. This dude that you showed me here, the Mighty Quinn, oh my gosh, man, there's no telling what he weighs. He's huge.
Yes, Jack. Yes, he is, but very huge. But Sergio Oliveira had the edge on him. He beat Arnold Schwarzenegger, I believe, in 69 for the Mr. Olympia title, the one defeat that Arnold had.
Yeah, there's not many people that can say that, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, he looks good, too. He's got a wingspan, man.
Like
he does, man.
Yes.
He kind of reminds me of Dexter Jackson in some of these pictures, especially in his face. He looks like Dexter Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Who is the Blade?
I have my homework assignment to look up Dexter Jackson. Yes.
Oh man, the Blade. He's real popular. He's real famous in bodybuilding right now. The guys right now, man, they're different than what they were when Arnold was doing it. If people consider Arnold the greatest bodybuilder of all time. When you see guys like Phil Heath, I mean, he just looks like a whole different animal. And it has to do with the way that the equipment has changed, the way that the science of dieting has changed, supplements. I mean, I think back then, I think some of the illegal stuff was actually legal. And now, you know, all that stuff is illegal. But even just over-the-counter, you know, okay, so as far as supplements, I'm a Team USP Labs athlete. Me and Maria are both signed with USP Labs. They've launched some brand new modern protein. It is delicious. It tastes like Twix. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. It's Caramel Cookie Sticks is the actual brand. But they make Jacked and all that kind of stuff. So that's our sponsor. So when we get hyped up before we go to the ring, we take some of that pre-workout, you know. But that's kind of how I was able to put on weight. But just it's so different bodybuilding now compared to when Arnold was competing. It's so different. My gosh. I mean, the bikini division, and I know that sounds like pervy or whatever, but the bikini division is literally the most popular division. Men's physique is right behind it. I mean, you have hundreds and hundreds of competitors that come out to these shows, and they last forever because everybody has to pose. But I kind of got off on a tangent, I think, there.
Well, that does sound like a pretty good supplement that you take before you enter the ring. Are you a big fan of Hostess fruit pies?
Dude, are you kidding me? Jelly beans? Jelly beans are – Cadbury cream eggs and jelly beans are two of my favorites. Anything that has to do with cake or cupcakes, those are my jam too, man. I got to save those for Sunday, though. That's cheat day.
Oh, okay. It's just because – In the Turnbuckle Turmoil Weekly Northwest Wrestler Rankings, the person that is ranked number one gets a Hostess fruit pie from me. Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
Hey, if I get it, I have to save it till Sunday, though.
Well, yes, I'd have to airmail that to you. Yes, if you get a number one ranking. Yes. Now, speaking of which,
I think I deserve a number
one
ranking, by the way.
Of Hostess fruit pie.
And now when you say Hostess fruit pie, you talking about, are you baking this? What are you doing?
Oh, no, I'm buying them from the store, yes.
Okay. What flavors do I have to choose from?
Oh, you've got cherry, you've got chocolate, you've got apple, and
Ooh. Let
me see, what else? You've got blueberry. I know, yes, blueberry.
Probably apple. I like
apple. Oh, okay, apple.
You know, my favorite kind of cake is carrot cake. But I don't like the fancy carrot cake. I like the cheaply made, you know, like, I don't know, you go to Kroger or something and buy it. For some reason, I like it better like that. But carrot cake is my favorite. It's delicious.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Dustin, I saw your YouTube video entitled Action Jackson versus Dustin Five Star with Marie on YouTube, and I couldn't help but notice that when you climbed the ropes and stood on the second turnbuckle at the 229 mark, that you had five stars on your boots. My question is, did you know in World War II that there were several officers with the rank of five stars, and they were called, let's see, what were they called? Oh, yeah, Field Marshal of the Air Force, Admiral of the Fleet, and General of the Army. And in Spain, a five-star general is known as Generalissimo. Do you think in time of it in war that Action Jackson could make an 04 ranking in the Navy as a lieutenant commander, or maybe just 03 as a lieutenant?
And that's a very good question, and I never would have guessed that I'd ever been asked that, but I have an answer for you.
Oh, okay.
Anything below me is where Action Jackson would be, because I have never lost to Action Jackson. I have beaten Action Jackson every time we've gotten in the ring, and I'll tell you why. Because I helped train Action Jackson. Not a lot of people know that. So we were somewhere in Arkansas. Look at me. I feel like I've been hit in the head too many times. I can't remember the town. But, it was a very similar story as mine. This guy was a young kid. He loved wrestling. I think he worked at a movie theater, you know, just nice guy. And he's like, man, I want to wrestle. And so I'm not going to say we literally beat him up. I mean, we threw him around the ring, put him through the drills and everything, and he just kept coming back, and eventually he was ready. He got in the ring, and fast forward several years, me and Action Jackson have had some really good matches these last couple of years. He's never beaten me. Now, as far as the generals and all that kind of stuff, if I'm the five-star Army general, then he could be – I don't know. He could be anything underneath me that kind of helps me, like does my stuff for me, you know, like the stuff that I don't want to do. I would have him do that. Or the stuff that Maria didn't want to do, you know, I'd have him do that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. I am now going to give him the title of 03, our lieutenant. Yes.
Okay.
Lieutenant.
That's cool.
not lieutenant commander, which is 04. He hasn't reached that rank yet. Yes.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, now, General of the Army in World War II, one of them was Douglas MacArthur. Do you recall when he waded ashore in the Philippines with his scrambled egg cap on his head, and he announced, "I have returned," and he had a corncob pipe in his mouth? Well, my question is, has Marie ever waded ashore in a wading pool on her way to a ring with a riding crop in their hand and announced, "I have returned to Memphis"? That's my question. Yes.
No, but I've got something close. Just a couple of weeks ago, we wrestled Brickhouse Brown, and when we were headed to the ring, this was at a fair event, and when we were headed to the ring, could you believe that they wanted myself and my Maria to walk on dirt to get to the ring? I mean, the wrestling ring was set up in a rodeo field. So we literally had to walk on this dirt and mud to get to the ring. I was appalled. And so I think at that time she didn't say, "Hey, Memphis, I've arrived," or "Memphis, I'm here." She's like, "Get me the hell out of here." That's what she was saying.
Oh, okay.
Get me out of here.
Oh, all right. Well,
hey, there's another name for you, too. That's another Memphis wrestling name from the past, Brickhouse Brown. When's the last time you heard that name? Have you ever heard of Brickhouse Brown?
Yes, it has been a long time, yes.
Yeah. He used to wrestle in WCW. He did some WWF stuff as well. But, man, he was all over the Mid-South here. Beat Jerry Law. I mean, he's a long list of guys that Brickhouse Brown has beaten. He was a guy that I met early on in my career, and me and my partner for many, many months, we would go up and down the roads and we'd wrestle Brickhouse Brown and Reggie B. Fine. And that, and you talk about Memphis style of wrestling, man. We did it every single week against Brickhouse Brown and Reggie B. Fine. And it was all you could do not to laugh in the ring with Reggie and the antics that he would pull and the things that he would say in the ring. But, yeah, it was another guy that we've been able to work with and learn from, you know. He's 56 years old, and, man, the dude can still go. He can still take bumps. And he looks great. Looks great. I don't know how they do it for so long.
Wow. Well, you know, we had a wrestler out here that wrestled for Tulalip Championship Wrestling, and his name was Brickhouse Beretta, and he had arms
nice.
Like you. Yes, Brickhouse Beretta. Yes.
Very cool.
Okay. Well, Dustin, Action Jackson, in your match that I mentioned on YouTube, he went around sniffing the crowd because he thought he smelled something funny.
Security guard. Bring this up.
Yes, and the security guard passed the test. He then climbed into the ring. He pointed at Maria and said, "I think she smells like she has a booty face." My question is, would you have been more outraged if Action Jackson accused Maria of having an encounter with Looney Tunes character Pepe Le Pew?
I think she would probably be more happy if it was Pepe Le Pew, because what had happened the night before that match is we had a tag team match against, it was me and Dangerous Doug Gilbert with Maria in our corner, and we wrestled Too Cool, which was Grandmaster Sexay Brian Christopher, you know, former WWE Tag Team Champion, and his partner was WWE Hall of Famer Rikishi. So, yeah, it's kind of a touchy subject, but, so Action Jackson was kind of poking fun at Maria because he thought the stink face from the night before was still smelling, if you will. That's kind of a touchy subject, though. Maria would be very angry for us bringing that up. But, yeah, we had wrestled Rikishi the night before, and I'll leave it at that. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I got to tell you, I was a huge fan of Grandmaster Sexay's dance steps. Huge fan.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Like when he did the worm? Yes.
Right.
All right. Well,
oh,
Dustin, after your drop kick on Action Jackson at the 6:15 mark, you did drop down and you did four push-ups in the ring.
It should have been five push-ups.
Oh, five. Okay.
Yeah, for five-star. Yeah.
Now, do these four push-ups rank in the top 10 in the amounts of push-ups you have done while in the ring? And can I guess that your number one ranking in push-ups while competing in the ring is 11?
My favorite set of push, I don't know if this is the question, but my favorite set of push-ups I ever do is when I'm beating down Jerry Lawler or Bill Dundee and I'm doing push-ups in their face, you know, because really I've beaten them to a point where I can just, you know, do some jumping jacks, drop down, do some push-ups. The Action Jackson push-ups, you know, whatever, it's just kind of for show. I don't usually struggle too hard with Action Jackson, you know.
Oh, okay.
That must be one of your favorite matches though, right?
Yes. Yes.
And for anybody listening, if you go to YouTube and look up Five Star Fan Cam, you'll see this match. And this match was actually at AutoMax in Jonesboro, where they set up a tent and they have a big event where they do they put cars on sale and they have wrestling and all that. Last year at the event, I wrestled James Storm, and we had a lot of fun at that event too. But you could see that match on the Five Star Fan Cam, both of them actually.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'll make that a point. Okay. Well, Dustin, at the 7:14 and 7:19 mark of the match, Maria can be seen kicking Action Jackson outside the ring. Now, seeing how she was wearing white high-heeled, open-faced sandals, are you going to buy her a pair of Doc Marten boots for Christmas, like the ones WWE tag team partners Crime Time wore for more kicking power?
Crime Time. Oh my gosh, those are my guys, man. So
yes, Crime Time.
Yeah. Me and Shad, we were friends in developmental, and you know, rumor has it that those guys, you're looking at bringing them back. If they haven't already signed him, I think they're looking at bringing those guys back. Man, he's been doing movies and all kinds of stuff. I still keep up with him. As far as the shoes, though, Maria wears sparkly shoes. So they weren't white. They were, they had sparkles all over them. They were probably, you know, they're all bedazzled and all that jazz. But usually she has the heels on because, I mean, come on. My Maria always wears heels. And then besides, if your boy ever gets in trouble and she needs to throw a shoe into the ring for me for any kind of reason, that spike on that high heel, it does the dirty work for us. You know what I mean? It does the trick. I don't know if I'd want to see Maria in combat boots.
Well, would you consider buying her a pair of Doc Martens if she put glitter on them, or maybe
glitter? You'd have to ask her, man. You'd have to ask her, but I'm sure that she'd be more, you know, more likely to do it if they were bedazzled or something.
Oh, okay. All right.
They got to be pretty.
Very pretty. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, did you know that sharing general of the army ranked are O-10? No, that would be five-star general. Yeah, five-star general with Douglas MacArthur in World War II was general of the army Dwight D. Eisenhower. And on or about in the year 1910, Dwight D. Eisenhower was injured in a football game when they were playing football against the Carlisle Indian School, with whom Jim Thorpe was playing. He was injured trying to tackle Jim Thorpe. My question is, do you know that Jim Thorpe won the decathlon and the pentathlon at the same Olympics? And for his efforts, the King of Sweden called him the greatest athlete he had ever seen.
So the greatest Olympic athlete or just the greatest athlete?
Nope, Jim Thorpe was called the greatest athlete of the 20th century.
I don't know a whole lot about Jim Thorpe other than kind of what you said, but I don't know about greatest athlete of all time. I mean, aren't there a ton of great athletes out there? I mean, look at the ones that are in the Olympics now. You know what I mean?
Of course, there was, but to take part in the decathlon and pentathlon at the same time, that would have required him to do 17 events, and he also played football with the Canton Bulldogs, and in 1915, he commanded the enormous sum of $250 a game to play with the Canton Bulldogs. That was pro football.
So he was before his time is what you're telling me.
Yes. Yes.
For sure. He would have gotten paid nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how that has to do with wrestling, though. I'm not really sure.
Well, I was going to ask if you yourself consider yourself an all-around athlete, and could you play semi-pro football in Tennessee? That's what I was getting at.
I believe I could. I think I could. I think I could do anything that I trained for. You know, I mean, I've been wrestling so long. I mean, you get banged up and bruised, and you're, you know, work through all those, you know, all that pain and stuff. Yeah, absolutely, I could do anything, man. I never thought I would win the Mr. Tennessee or anything else, and I did that. You know, people said I would never make it to WWE. I did that. I wrestled, you know, TNA, developmental, WWE, ECW, SmackDown, Raw. Global Force Wrestling. I was part of their inaugural event. I think I could do anything. I think I can do anything.
Wow. Well, okay.
Five-star athlete, baby.
Five-star athlete, yes. Just like a general. Yes. All right. Well, I tell you what. IQT Vogues, if you make it to, let's say, in a starting position at a semi-pro football team in Memphis, I will give you the princely sum of $2.50 a day plus a fruit pie. Yes.
I think I'll pass on that. I'll just continue the wrestling bookings. I think that used to be my payoff when I started out, $2.50.
Oh, well, you see, Jim Thorpe, commanded $250 a game. I just moved the decimal place 1 point over for you. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
All right, well. And
I don't know if we would
have
a deal, though, man.
Oh, well, okay. All right, one last question before I turn it back over to the sign guy. Michael Phelps consumes right around 6,000 to 6,500 calories for breakfast. How many calories would you consume if you went up in weight for 215 in the bodybuilding contest to add some bulk before you trim back down?
Okay, so I'm not a good get calorie type of counter. What I usually count is protein and carbs, because I know that if I increase my carbs to a certain amount, then that's how I will gain weight. So I'm talking carbs like sweet potatoes, brown rice, oatmeal. Pretty much that's going to be the gist of it. Cream of rice, that's a good one too. But those are basically going to be my key carbs. And then my proteins, of course, are going to be, you know, grilled chicken, turkey, fish, maybe some steak, something like that. So what I have done in the past to get to 215 pounds before my cut is I would have days where I'd have 8 meals with over 50 grams of protein in each meal and over 50 carbs in each meal. Now, after I deplete and I cut down, I guess we could do some math on that. I don't really know what the calorie intake would be, but you know, if you have 8 meals, that's 400 carbohydrates along with a little over 400 grams of protein, you know, for the day. What I do in my, every day right now, just to kind of maintain, is I keep the carbs probably under 150 carbs a day. And then when it comes up on bell time, you know, let's say on a Friday, if I have a match on a Saturday, then on a Friday/Saturday, I'll increase the carbs because I know how to manipulate my body to get where I want to go, just on a regular everyday. But yeah, I would increase my carbs to where I would have probably 50 carbohydrates with each meal, and then also have my protein with each meal, and maybe even throw in a weight gainer, you know, a weight gain shake along with that, in order to put on the size that I want. And once I will get where I go, once I get to where I want to be as far as weight wise at my deadline, I just kind of reverse it and I'll carb cycle. So which what that means is that instead of having 50 grams of carbohydrates for all 8 of those meals, I might have 50 for breakfast and then I'll not have any for the next couple of meals and then have, you know, maybe 25 or whatever. So you just manipulate your carbs and you'd be surprised at how your body reacts. But Michael Phelps, man, yeah, he is a beast. You want to talk about a great athlete. I recently read something where he said that he would not let himself get to 230 pounds again, because apparently I guess he took time where he wasn't really training all that much, you know, not for the Olympics or whatever, but he was still eating that food, and so he put on some weight or whatever. But, yeah, a lot of people, especially with – you know, the wellness policy and all that kind of stuff, they automatically look at guys and say, oh, there's no way he could look like that unless he was doing this, you know, or whatever. But you would be really surprised. 98% of, you know, your look is going to be what you eat. I don't care how hard you train. I don't care how much cardio you do. It doesn't matter. If your eating is bad, you're not going to look as sharp as what you would want to. You cannot hit that goal unless your eating gets better. You know what I mean? It's a huge part of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dustin, it was good talking with you. Be sure to show a picture of the Mighty Quinn to Maria, and I am going to turn it back over to Sun Guy. Yes.
I would definitely show her.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dustin, we're coming towards the end of the program, so I want to make sure you have plenty of time. If there's anything you would like to say to the people listening, plug and promote everything you got, upcoming appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world you would like. Floor is all yours.
Very cool. First of all, I appreciate you guys for having me on. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, thank you for that. we've got a lot of great shows coming up, and where you can get all the information is you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. It's all at Dustin Starr, and that's Starr with two R's. You can find Maria, who we've been talking about. She's at The Maria Starr, and she's on all the same channels. We do some Facebook Live sometimes when we're at these shows, so you can get a behind-the-scenes look. Some of the stuff's kind of crazy. We were doing a trivia with Kevin Cerrito. He does a wrestling trivia, you know, ever so often during his trivia. You can go to CerritoLive.com and check that out, and Cerrito Trivia is listed there. But first, I want to say that I love all the wrestling fans. Love all you guys. Check out our social media. We're going to be coming to a town near you, I promise. August 20th, we're in Raymer, Tennessee for SPWA Wrestling. Great event. I heard you say OWO earlier. We have an OWO here around the Mississippi area. So on August 27th, we are the champions of OWO. I actually successfully defended the title against Jeff Jarrett, Buff Bagwell. Who knows who else they're going to bring in. But we'll be in Amory, Mississippi for OWO on August 27th. Then the 28th, we're going to be a part of one of our favorite events in Memphis. It's the Best Memphis Burger Festival, to where we actually judge the best burgers in Memphis and also MC the eating contest. It's a ton of fun. Next Friday, which is the 26th, I'll be co-hosting Local Memphis Live on ABC 24 in Memphis at 9 a.m. That's a live show. Check that out. Let's see, September 3rd, Championship Wrestling returns to the Isle of Capri in Lula, Mississippi. It's going to be awesome. Jimmy Hart is actually going to be in concert. When's the last time you heard Jimmy Hart in concert, like playing music? So he created Shawn Michaels' theme music, the Repo Man, the Wolfpack theme music. He had a smash hit. I think it was a number one with the Gentry's Keep On Dancing. So he's going to be there. He's going to be performing live. He'll be in Jerry Lawler's corner that night. And then on September 10th, we have Legends of Memphis Wrestling Reunion. We talked about that. Jonesboro, Arkansas. Bill Dundee, Jerry Lawler, Jeff Jarrett, Brandon Baxter, Jimmy Hart, Dangerous Doug Gilbert. So many of the old school Memphis wrestling legends and WWE Hall of Famers will be there. Then the next week, September 16th, we're going to be in Memphis. There's a Super 6 tournament on Thomas Street in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Marvel Elite Wrestling. I'm the champion there, of course, and we have a tournament to where I'm going to just win another trophy. September 17th, we're at the Henderson County Fair in Lexington, Tennessee. The admission is free. You can watch wrestling for free if you get into the fair. There's going to be thousands of people there. Jerry Lawler will be there. Doug Gilbert. I think Grandmaster Sexay will be there. There's a ton of people there. October 1st, we go back to Jonesboro. We get to hang out with Bret Michaels. You guys Bret Michaels fans? The rock and roller?
Absolutely. The Poison.
Yeah. So downtown Jonesboro Barbecue Fest, we love coming to that. We got to meet some of the rock and rollers last year. This year, we get to hang out with Bret Michaels after the wrestling. You know he's going to be into the wrestling. And then October 15th, we'll be back in Corinth, Mississippi. And every single week, okay, on Sports 56, WHBQ, and 87.7 FM in Memphis, you can listen to us live. We're the only show that talks about pro wrestling every single Saturday, just like old school. It's called Cerrito Live, and in the main event, we've had guests like Scott Hall, Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart. I mean, the list goes on. James Storm, just tons and tons of Hall of Famers and legendary wrestlers, and you can check out all that on CerritoLive.com. You can pull the podcast and listen to anything you want. And then you can check out my Maria. She'll be at AutoZone Park tonight. She MCs for the Memphis Redbirds. Out here in Memphis, it's the minor league baseball team, the affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals MLB team. So, man, we're all over the place, dude. We're just trying to stay busy. You can keep up with us all on the social media. Like I said, at Dustin Starr and at The Maria Starr.
Well, Mr. Starr, it's been an absolute delight having you on the show. Best of luck to you. I know you're a very busy man with bookings all over the place, so hope that goes well for you, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Sounds good.
All right, well, fans, get out there. Tons and tons of wrestling, like we discussed earlier. Get out there, find your favorite pro wrestling, get out there, support it, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon. We have Brett Eisen on the program. Should be a great show. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you, guys.